Galatians chapter 2, verses 15 through 16. Galatians chapter 2, verses 15 through 16. We ourselves are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners. Yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus, in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law, because by works of the law no one will be justified. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this good word to your church. And Lord, we ask that we would hear this word with newness of heart and mind, that we would understand even more deeply and fully the good news of the gospel of Jesus. Lord, we pray that you would even come into our lives and show us how we are acting and or relating to you like legalists, like we have to earn your love or do something to for you to love us or do some great accomplishment in life so that you would redeem us. Father, show us how we're living as legalists. And free us. Set us free. Set us free to know the height and the width and the length and the depth of the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, and fill us with all your fullness. We pray you would set us free to deeply and truly know your love for us. And then, God, we would live in response to that love for your glory. And so help us, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Martin Luther has said that the doctrine on which the church stands or falls is justification by faith alone. And here in Galatians, we are seeing that false teachers have come into this church in Galatia, and they're affirming that you need faith in Christ. They don't deny Christ. They don't deny faith in Christ, but they say you need faith in Christ plus. Faith in Christ plus works of the law. And Luther said this about trying to add to Jesus. Trying to merit, earn grace by works is trying to placate and appease God with sins. Did you realize that? Trying to earn your salvation is trying to satisfy God with your own sin. Why would Luther say that? Because Luther knows the sinfulness of the human heart, and he knows that even the best deeds, the best works, the best Christian deeds that you can do are tainted with sin. Did you know that? The most sacrificial acts that any human being who is a sinner has ever done are still tainted with sin and need cleansed by the blood of Jesus. So Luther says, you're trying to add to the work of Christ that you might be justified? Well, you're just heaping sin upon sin, which is nothing but heaping sin upon sins, making fun of God and provoking His wrath. And we don't want to do that. Last time that we were together in Galatians, we saw Paul rebuke Peter, and this rebuke of Peter confirmed that Paul's gospel was the true gospel. And in these verses today, we're going to see the heart of the gospel that Paul preached. Faith alone, in Christ alone, for all peoples, both Jew and Gentile. And this is where Paul starts. He starts by making it clear that both Jews and Gentiles are sinners in need of God's grace. Look at verse 15. Verse 15 teaches us that there are real and true privileges to being born an ethnic Jew. There are real and true privileges to being born an ethnic Jew. Look at verse 15. We ourselves are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners. Paul, in this section, is continuing to address Peter in his rebuke. He's letting us see what he said to Peter when he stood against him to his face. And he's speaking to Peter here, and he's saying, Peter, listen, we're Jews by birth, not Gentile sinners. We're Jews. We're ethnic Jews. We were given the privileges of the covenant. And yet, even though we've been given these privileges, no one is justified by works. Even we, the Jews, the chosen people of God, those who were set apart for God, given the law, given the promises, given the covenants, even we cannot be justified by works of the law. And the Jews were given many privileges. We're thinking about that on Wednesday nights in Romans chapter 9. There are real and true privileges in being born a Jew, an ethnic Jew. Romans 9, 4 through 5. They are Israelites, and to them belong the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the worship, and the promises. To them belong the patriarchs, and from their race, according to the flesh, is the Christ, who is God over all, blessed forever. Amen. Privileges given to the people of Israel. For those of you who may be familiar with the group called Hebrew Israelites, you see them sometimes at Broughton Olney or downtown. They're usually dressed in these robes and wear turbans. Sometimes they're called Black Israelites or Hebrew Israelites. I just want to make a point that Galatians is a great book for them. Galatians would be a great book to invite them to read with you and study. I want you to notice that none of these privileges that Paul says are given to the Jews are that only Jews can be saved, which is what they teach. They're not ethnic Israelites anyway. I'm not going to get into that today. They're confused about that. But they teach that only Israelites can be saved. And that's not true. That's not one of the privileges at all in the Bible. No. Those who trust in Christ are saved. But what Paul is contrasting here in verse 15 is there is a difference between Jew and Gentile. Jews were given these privileges and Gentiles were not. Gentiles did not enjoy these privileges. Remember in the New Testament, peoples by ethnicity are grouped into two categories: Jew, Gentile. If you're not a Jew, you're a Gentile. So pretty much all of us here, ethnically, are Gentiles. And Gentiles did not enjoy these privileges that the Jews enjoyed. That's why Paul says, we ourselves are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners. Listen to how Paul elsewhere speaks of the Gentiles. In Ephesians 2, 11 through 12. Therefore remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands. Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. I.e. Gentile sinners. Not the chosen people of God. And yet, verse 13 of Ephesians 2 says, but now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. So there's hope. There's hope for Gentiles like you and me to be brought near by the blood of Christ. In Paul saying we ourselves are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners, he's not saying that Jews were not sinners. Dr. Schreiner says Paul does not deny that Jews were sinners. His point is that they were not sinners in the same way as Gentiles, for the Gentiles were not part of God's covenant. So get Paul's argument here, why he's bringing up this issue of we ourselves are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners, because he's going to go on to say, yet we know that no one, whether you're a Jew who've been given all these privileges or you're a Gentile who have not been given these privileges, we know that no one, Jew or Gentile alike, no one is justified by works of the law. That's his point. Paul is putting Jews and Gentiles on the same level, sinners in need of grace. Phil Ryken says it this way: if anyone could be saved by the law, it would be a natural born Jew. Therefore, if it was impossible for the apostles to be justified this way, Jews though they were, it must be impossible for anyone to be justified this way. How absurd it would be for a man like Peter to compel Gentiles to keep the very law he had stopped trusting in for his own salvation. No. Paul is putting Jews and Gentiles on the same level. All of us are sinners. All of us deserve God's wrath. And there's only one hope. Faith alone in Jesus Christ alone. And that's what Paul goes on to say in verse 16. No one, not even Jews, can be justified by works of the law. Not even the Jews who are given the law, not even they can be justified by the law. Look at verse 16. Yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law. Because by works of the law, no one will be justified. This verse is one of the most important verses in the book of Galatians. Three times in this verse, Paul says we're not justified by works of the law. Did you notice that? Yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law and not by works of the law, because by works of the law, no one will be justified. Over and over and over again in one verse, Paul emphasizes not by works of the law, not by works of the law, not by works of the law. No one is justified by works of law. And what does it mean to be justified? It means to be counted right with God, declared right with God. It means forgiven of all your sins and counted righteous. No one is made declared righteous by doing. And that's why it breaks my heart so often when we ask the gospel question on the street, and even to church people, if you died tonight and you stood before God, and he said, why should I let you into heaven? What would you say? And so many people say, works of law, works of law, works of law. I'm a good person. I go to church. I taught Sunday school. I did this. I'm not as bad as the serial murderer and rapist on TV, so I must be acceptable to God. That those are the answers 90% of the time I get when I ask that question. Works of law, works of law, works of law. That's why I should be justified, forgiven, allowed to be with God. And Paul says, no, no, no. Not works of law, not works of law, not works of law. Faith alone in Christ alone. Paul is alluding to Psalm 143:2. Psalm 143:2, enter not into judgment with your servant, for no one living is righteous before you. No one living is righteous before you. No one living is justified before you. No flesh is justified before you, O God, by their good deeds, by their works. Lay your deadly doing down, the song says, down at Jesus' feet. Friend, if you're here this morning, you think that by some way you're getting in good with God because of what you do. You think you're earning your way to heaven by what you do. That you think that the good deeds that you do put God in your debt to save you? How arrogant. Proud. God laughs. You think you can do anything to put me in your debt? No. No, God owes us nothing but damnation, even for our best deeds, even for our most loving gestures, even for our greatest kindnesses, even for the most loud moans and cries of repentance and prayers. All He owes us is damnation for all of that. No, we don't earn anything from God. We don't deserve anything from God except hell. What are works of the law? What are works of the law? Works of the law are all the commandments that God gave to Israel through Moses. Works of the law. No one will be justified by works of the law. What does that mean? It means all of the commandments that God gave to Israel through Moses. And what Moses brought, what God gave through Moses, is do and live. This is the demand of the law. Do and you shall live. Do and you shall live. Do it and you shall live. That's what the law teaches. Paul wrote in Romans 10, 5 through 8, for Moses writes about the righteousness that is based on the law. Moses wrote about the righteousness that's based on the law. And what does it say? That the person who does the commandments shall live by them. And then he contrasts it with New Covenant faith. But the righteousness based on faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down. Or who will descend into the abyss? That is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. So Moses, the law given by God through Moses says, do and you shall live. New Covenant faith says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Works of the law is doing all things in the law. Not just the ceremonies, not just circumcision or Sabbath keeping, but all the works of the law. Galatians 3:10 says this, for all who rely on works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them. Works of the law pertains to all things written in the book of the law to do them. And that verse says everybody's cursed. Why? Because we've not done all things in the book of the law. Again, friend, this is why I love that evangelistic method when you talk to people and you ask them, should God let you into heaven? Well, why should God let you into heaven? And they say, because I'm a good person. We just did it Friday. Somebody said that to me. I said, so you're saying that God should let you in because you've done good? And I go, yes. And I say, well, have you ever told a lie? And they, oh, yes. But it was just a white lie. Friend, God sends people to hell for white lies. God sends people to hell for one white lie. The Bible says if we've broken the law in one point, we've broken the whole thing. So white lies send people to hell. Have you ever stolen anything? Oh, yes. Yep. Have you ever disobeyed your parents? Well, I'm an adult now. No, when you were a child, did you ever disobey? Yes. Oh, you're a sinner. You're a sinner. Have you ever had sex outside of marriage? You ever slept with somebody not married? Oh, yeah, I've done that. Have you ever looked with lust? Well, that's adultery, Jesus said. Have you ever murdered anybody? No, I've never murdered anybody. Well, have you ever lost your temper? You ever lost your temper? Because God says that's murder. So you've just told me you're a lying murderer, adulterer, rebellious against authority, and you think you can get to heaven. Friends, we don't understand the holiness of God. We think we're pretty good most of the day. We think we're pretty good. And we think, oh God, he's this nice old grandpa. He's like old grandpa. He's like old grandpa who just loves everything Johnny does. That's how my granny was. That's my boy. Whatever I did, that's my boy. She'd take up for me. That's how we think God is. He'd just go on, pat us on the back and say, that's okay. No, friends. God is a holy God. God is a righteous God. God cannot be in the presence of even one sin. And He is not like your grandpa. He's not like your grandpa. He's a holy God. He is a righteous God. And He cannot be in the presence of even one sin. I mean, think of all the people God killed. Nadab and Abihu offered strange fire. Boom! Dead. Uzzah, carrying the Ark of God, right? And the Ark of God, the Ark fell down on the ground, and Uzzah reached out to keep the Ark from falling down. It seemed like he was doing something helpful, and God struck him dead because God said, don't touch my Ark. And you say, well, Uzzah had a good heart. God cares about the heart, but He cares about obedience. The heart ought to lead to obedience, and God struck him dead. And one theologian has said God struck him dead because he's had the audacity to think that his hand was cleaner than the dirt. No, friends, God is a holy God. And if you want to earn your way to heaven, you have to be absolutely perfect. No sin. Not the least sin. But this text tells us nobody can do that. Nobody can do that. None of us have done that. I've not done that. I'm a sinner. I tell people when I'm preaching at Bartonali, I'm a lying, murderous adulterer. At heart, and I need a Savior. None of us have done all things written in the book of the law. None of us have. And we can't even take what we have done and add it to Jesus. You say, well, okay, I know I need Jesus. I know I need forgiveness, but then I'm going to do these things and add those to Jesus on the basis of which God should forgive me and let me into heaven. No, that sends to hell as well. Adding anything to Jesus for justification leads to hell. And you have to realize that's what these false teachers in Galatia were doing. They weren't denying faith in Christ. They weren't denying that you need faith in Christ. They were saying, yes, you need faith in Christ, plus works of the law. Moo puts it like this: none of the key parties, Paul, Peter, the false teachers, the Galatians, were questioning the need for faith in Christ for justification. What was in dispute was whether works of the law needed to be added to faith in Christ for justification. Friends, this is why Roman Catholicism is not Christianity. Roman Catholicism says that you need the grace of God. Roman Catholicism says that you need faith in Christ. Roman Catholicism says you need Christ. Roman Catholicism says we believe the Bible. They say we're doing this all for the glory of God, but they're deceived. That's why the Reformers came along, and from their theology we have it's by grace alone. Not grace plus merit. It's by faith alone, not by faith plus works. It's in Christ alone, not Christ plus prayers to Mary, plus going to a priest and doing penance and doing so many Hail Marys and so all this. It's just Christ alone. According to the Bible alone, we don't find praying to Mary in this book. We don't find purgatory in this book. We don't find going to priest to receive absolution from sin in this book. The Bible alone. And only that will give God all the glory alone. Christ plus nothing is everything, somebody said. All people, Jew and Gentile, are sinners who need grace alone in Christ alone. Moo said this: what should not be overlooked is the real force of Paul's argument in this verse. He is not arguing that Gentiles should be included with the Jews and the people of God. This is what a group called the New Perspective says. If you ever see anything about the New Perspective on Paul, just take it from me. It's not worth reading. This is what they say justification is, being included in the people of God. Dr. Moo rightly says what should not be overlooked is the real force of Paul's argument in this verse. He is not arguing that Gentiles should be included with the Jews in the people of God. He is arguing rather that the Jews should be included with the Gentiles in the mass of ordinary humanity. Jews are sinners just like the Gentiles, with the radical implication that follows: their obedience to the covenant stipulations cannot put them right with God. Only total reliance on Christ by faith can put them right with God. Beloved, we at Olney Baptist Church can be in danger of adding to Christ. We at Olney Baptist Church can be in danger of adding to Christ, and that is legalism. A pastor named Dustin Binge has written of the consequences of legalism. He says, number one, legalism leads to despair. Adding to Christ leads to despair because I can never do enough. Maybe some of you are there, and you're a Christian, but you feel like God is this. You see God as this demanding taskmaster, and I can never do enough. Can never pray enough. Can never read enough. Can never do enough to please Him. If you feel that way about God, you're missing something about the lavish mercy and grace and love of God. Lay your deadly doing down at Jesus' feet, and realize that you can never do enough. to appease this God. He's done enough in Christ to save you from your sins. So enjoy Him. Enjoy His lavish love for you. His lavish love for you. I was reading something this week about how one father blesses his child every night before he goes to bed. And it's something like this. You know Daddy loves you, right? Yes, Daddy. You know that Daddy will always love you, right? Yes, Daddy, I know. You know that there's nothing that you could do to make Daddy stop loving you. Yes, I know. You know that's how God loves you. Yes, yes, Daddy, I know. Fathers, tell your children how much you love them. Mothers, tell your children how much you love them. Give them affection. Amen. Hug them. Hold them. Make sure your children know how much Daddy loves them, and that is the picture of God's love that they will carry on, God willing. Also, there's guilt with legalism. I can never do enough. It's very similar. You feel guilty. Not only despair, but you feel guilty all the time. I can just never do enough to please this God in heaven. There's frustration. I can never do what is expected. He always expects more. And that leads to defeat. Leads to defeat. I never have assurance. How do I know that He loves me? I'm not living up to His standard ever. I can never give enough. And so there's no assurance. Legalism, Voss says, lacks the supreme sense of worship. It obeys, but it does not adore. It obeys, but it does not adore. Friends, the church can be filled with legalists who obey like nobody else. They can pray with the best of them. They can pray with the best of them, read the Bible 5 times in a year. Evangelize with the best. But it's all from a wrong heart and a wrong motive, and not out of adoration and love for the Savior and delight in Him. We have to be careful, beloved, we don't fall into this legalism of adding to Christ. How might we at Alney Baptist be most tempted to fall into legalism right now? How might we be most tempted to fall into legalism right now, reading the Bible in a year? I've been pushing that. Read the Bible this year. But beloved, that's a good thing to read the Bible in a year. It's a good thing to read the Bible. It's a good thing to pray, to be here, to give, to serve, to evangelize. Those are good things. I want you to do those things. But if I start teaching that you must do that to be justified before God, then unless you read the Bible in a year, you're not right with God. And to get right with God, you've got to read the Bible in a year. That's from the pit of hell. That's from the pit of hell. That's legalism. That's evil. That's evil. Or if you feel like you're not justified because you didn't make it through the whole Bible reading plan, that's legalism. That's legalism. Reading through the Bible in a year doesn't make you a Christian. But true Christians will desire to read the Bible. You see the difference? All the service that we do, reading of the Scriptures, the prayers, the gathering on the Lord's Day, all of which God commands. We do that not to earn God's favor and love, but because He has so lavished His favor and love upon us. You communicating with your wife doesn't make you married. Marriage is made by a covenant and by consummation. That makes a marriage. Making covenant promises and consummating it in a one flesh union. Physically. That's what makes a marriage. But beloved, if you're married, you want to talk to her, don't you? You want to spend time with her. You delight in her. You love her. And so you don't communicate with her so that you can be married. You communicate because you are married. We as believers in Christ, we ought to delight to read His Word. Because He saved us. He's justified us. He's made us right with Him, counted us righteous. We have a relationship with Him. And so we delight to read His Word. We delight to spend time with Him in prayer, commune with Him. We delight to serve Him. We delight to obey all of His commandments. His commandments are not burdensome. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. We love to obey because we have been justified by faith alone in Christ alone. And see, some of you, you may be trying to live the Christian life and do this, but there's no heart in it. You're trying to do the Bible reading thing, and you're trying to do the church thing, and you're trying to do this, that, and the other, but if you were really honest, you would just rather watch a football game. You find more joy in all these other things, and if you find yourself in that situation, there's no heart for God, delight in God, joy in reading the Scripture, no hunger for God and His Word. You find there's no hunger for God in your heart. The thing you ought to do is not try harder. I'm just going to try harder. No, the thing to do is confess to God, Lord, You are boring to me. And I'm ashamed of that. I'm ashamed that Your Word is boring. I'm ashamed that being with God's people is a chore. I'm ashamed that my heart is so cold and dead. Lord, awaken me. Save me. Give me joy in You. Give me a delight in You. Help me to adore You afresh. And friend, that goes for believers and unbelievers. I mean, if you're an unbeliever, that may be the case, but I have to pray that way. Your pastor has to pray that way. My heart is often cold toward God, cold toward His Word, cold toward wanting to live for Him and be a pastor. And I have to say, God, forgive me, please. Lord, You are all glorious, all beautiful, all satisfying. Forgive me for this cold, dead heart and come and awaken me to Your beauty and Your glory. Grant me more joy in You than in all my other hopes or dreams. Please. And so go before the Lord and cry out for mercy. Ask God to deliver us from this legalism. Well, if works of the law are not how we're justified, how are we justified? The only hope for all peoples is to be justified by faith alone in Christ alone. Look again at verse 16. Yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law, because by works of the law no one will be justified. What does it mean to be justified by faith alone in Christ alone? It means to be declared righteous by God based on Christ's righteousness and to be forgiven by God of all your sins because of Jesus' life, His death on the cross, and His resurrection from the dead. It is a legal status in which God says, not guilty. God declaring sinners. He is the judge. He is above the Supreme Court. He is the Supreme Court of Supreme Courts. He is the final, ultimate judge of all the earth. And He, you come into His courtroom, a guilty, unworthy, ungodly sinner who deserves hell. And God says, not guilty. That's justification. Not guilty. I don't care what you've done, how bad you've been, how many people you've murdered, either by anger or with swords and guns, how many drugs you've done, how many people you've slept with, however sinful you are. If you come to Jesus Christ and believe on Him alone, God says, not guilty. Forever. Forever, you're not guilty. And He forgives all that sin. And He takes the righteousness of His Son, His Jesus' perfect life, and He counts that as yours, so that when He looks at you, He sees Christ. And just like He said to His Son, this is My beloved Son in whom I am well pleased, He says that of you, Michael Todd, you are My beloved Son, and you I am well pleased. He says that of all of us who are believing in Him alone, in Christ alone. You can't work for it. You can't earn it. The Bible says to him who does not work but believes in Him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness. Friends, this is the good news of the gospel. It's this double benefit of having all your sins forgiven, but also having the righteousness of Jesus counted as yours, so that you're not only have no sin, you have righteousness. If you're a member of this church, you've signed a statement saying this is what you believe. Our statement of faith on justification says this: we believe that the great gospel blessing which Christ secures to such as believe in Him is justification. That justification includes the pardon of sin and the promise of eternal life on principles of righteousness. Why is it on principles of righteousness? How can God stand in the courtroom and say not guilty to people who deserve hell?
Hallelujah.
Because He sent His Son to hell in our place. Figure to you. Jesus didn't actually go to a place called hell, but He bore the pains of hell in our place. Friends, that's why the Muslim God, He's not just. He's not a real God, and He's not a just God. Muslims say He just forgives sin. And I ask people this all the time at Broad Army. What if somebody came up here and killed your little daughter, shot her dead, and then he was caught and went to the court, and everybody's there and he's guilty. Everybody knows he's guilty, but the judge stands there and says, I know you did this. I know you murdered this 5-year-old daughter. And it was a heinous and wicked crime and you were ungodly. But I'm going to be like God. I declare you not guilty. You're free to go. Would that judge stay a judge? No, he'd be fired. He's not just. It's not righteous to let rapists and murderers go free. That's unrighteous. And God is more just than any judge in Philadelphia. So how does He say not guilty to guilty sinners and still be a just God? He put our sins on His Son and crushed Him. He put our sins on His Son. He counted His Son as sin. That's what Isaiah 53 is all about. He bore our sins. He bore our iniquities. He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. God condemned sin in the flesh in Christ. It pleased the Lord to crush Him. He was stricken and smitten and afflicted for us. And so God punishes our sin in His Son so that He might say not guilty to us. And there's no condemnation. And so it's based on principles of righteousness, that it is bestowed not in consideration of any works of righteousness which we have done, but solely through faith in the Redeemer's blood, by virtue of which faith, His perfect righteousness, is freely imputed. That means to be counted as if it's yours. It belongs to Jesus, but God imputes it to us. He counts Christ's righteousness as if it's ours. Freely imputed to us of God, that it brings us into a state of most blessed peace and favor with God and secures every other blessing needful for time and eternity. The Shorter Catechism of Westminster says this: what is justification? Justification is an act of God's free grace wherein He pardons all of our sins and accepts us as righteous in His sight only for the righteousness of Christ imputed to us and received by faith alone. This is good news. This is the basis for the fact that God can say there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Who can bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. If God justifies you, nobody can bring a successful charge against you. You're forgiven. You're righteous. You're justified. Nobody can send you to hell. To be received by faith alone. Unbelievers who are here this morning, do you realize that you need this justification? You need this justification. Because we have all sinned against God. We've all sinned against God. The way that we answer the gospel question, you can see it on the back of the bulletin, is, Lord, I don't deserve to go to heaven because I'm a sinner. That's where we start. I don't deserve to go to heaven. I deserve hell for my sin. But Lord, You love sinners. Amen. God loves sinners. Jesus came for the unrighteous, not for the righteous.
Yes, Lord.
And so, God, you gave your Son, your only beloved Son, who is fully God and fully man, who perfectly obeyed your law and died on that cross and suffered the wrath that I deserve and then was raised on the third day. And Lord, I've believed on the Lord Jesus, and He's my only hope to go to heaven. He's my only hope. Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain is day, and there may I, the vile as he, wash all my sins away. That's good news. Friend, if you're here as an unbeliever, I exhort you, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust Him today. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Believe on Him today. Stop trying to work your way to heaven. Stop trying to earn it. Believe on Him. And believe me, when you believe on Him, your life will change. You will start doing good deeds and good works because you have been justified. Because you're a new creation. You delight in God. You delight in His Word. You delight to do what He says. His commandments are not burdensome, but you love Him and love to live for Him. You're going to want to pray. You're going to want to read your Bible and grow in those disciplines of the faith. Not so that you can earn His love, but because you realize how much He loves you so much. You see, J.C. Ryle has written a very helpful little treatise. It's very short on justification and sanctification. Justification being what we've been talking about. Sanctification being the process in which God makes us more holy. Please read this. It's in your bulletin. Please read it. Meditate on it this week. Parents, use it with your children for family devotions. I want to read just several of these that Ryle explains of what justification is. Justification is the reckoning or counting a man to be righteous for the sake of another, even Jesus Christ the Lord. The righteousness that we have by our justification is not our own, but the everlasting perfect righteousness of our great mediator Christ, imputed to us and made our own by faith. Justification, in justification, our own works have no place at all. That's what we've been talking about today. In our justification, our own works have no place at all, but simply faith in Christ is the one thing needful. Justification is a finished and complete work, and a man is perfectly justified the moment he believes. Justification admits of no growth or increase. A man is as much justified the hour he first comes to Christ by faith as he will be for all eternity. That's good news. You are as righteous as you'll ever be in Christ the moment you believe, because your righteousness is not your own. It's Jesus, and He is in the right hand of God, seated there, making intercession for us, and His righteousness can neither increase nor decrease because it is perfect. That is your status, believer in Christ. You have the righteousness of Jesus, and it happens the moment, the instant you believe. Justification has special reference to our persons, our standing, our legal status in God's sight, and our deliverance from guilt. Justification gives us our title to heaven and boldness to enter in. And so please read this, because he also talks about what is sanctification. And so for those of you who are itching for me to talk about, you better be holy, you better be holy, you better live right. Well, that's what sanctification is. And guess what? Everyone who's justified will be sanctified. And if you're not being sanctified, if you're not longing for holiness and striving for holiness, it means you were never truly justified. You see? And we receive justification how? By faith alone. By faith alone. But what is saving faith? What is saving faith? Well, three aspects of saving faith. First, knowledge. You have to know these truths. You have to know about Jesus, His life, death, and resurrection. Know you're a sinner. You have to know some facts. Secondly, you have to believe that they're true. You have to believe that they're true. But let me tell you this, the devil knows both those. The devil knows the gospel. The devil knows the gospel's true. He knows Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead. He knows Jesus is the Son of God. Remember, the demons would come to Jesus and say, "We know who you are, the Holy One of God." They know, and they believe they're true. So saving faith is more than just a mental, intellectual assent that these things are historical facts. The third aspect is trust. Trust. I trust. Not only do I know, Lord Jesus, you died on the cross and rose again. Not only do I believe it's true, as true as I believe my hands are right here before me, but I trust you alone. You are my only hope. You are my only hope to be forgiven, my only hope to enter eternity with God. You trust Him. Calvin wrote that faith is not a distant view, but a warm embrace of Christ. A warm embrace. Have you warmly embraced Him? Have you trusted Him alone as your salvation? And finally, this faith is in Jesus. The main thing about saving faith is not the faith, but the object of the faith. Christ. Jesus. Jesus is the one who earned salvation for us. I was thinking about how you might rewrite Galatians 2:16 with a focus on Jesus earning justification. And this is what I came up with. We know that only one person was justified by works of the law. And that person was Jesus Christ. For He alone believed God perfectly and obeyed God perfectly in order to be justified by works of the law. Because by works of the law, only Jesus Christ was justified. You see that? There was one man who was justified by works of the law. And His name is Jesus Christ. The law says, do and you shall live. Guess what? Only Jesus did. Only Jesus did perfectly, perpetually, all the time, did exactly what God commanded. Loved God perfectly, loved His neighbor perfectly, did everything His Father commanded Him to do. He was baptized and fulfilled all righteousness. He was circumcised on the 8th day. He did everything according to God's law perfectly. He did. And the law says, do and you shall live. But He didn't live. He died. Why did He do and die? He did and died because our sin was counted as His. As Him. He was counted sin. He did and died for us. He did and died for you and me, sinners. Our sin was counted to Him and He was crushed by the Father. But He did and lived as well. Because He rose up out the tomb. Death could not hold Him because He did and lived. He's the only one who did and lived, and death couldn't hold Him. He had no sin, and so He rose up and conquered sin and death and hell and rose from the dead for us and for the glory of the Father. That's the gospel. That's the good news. That's the good news. May we share it. May we believe it. Christ earned by works our justification. He obeyed God's law for our salvation. By God's Spirit conquered every temptation. Then died on that cross for our propitiation. Absorbed God's wrath and our damnation. Then rose from the grave, death's cancellation. By faith alone in Christ our fixation. Forevermore there's no condemnation. And we do good works out of pure elation in the incarnation. We died to the law stipulation. We're the new creation who received imputation and lived for God through our sanctification, all for His honor and glorification. So let's pray that God would do this in and through us. Father, we thank You for this good word to us, reminding us that we are not justified by works of the law, but by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, who alone was justified by works of the law. Father, we pray that we would believe this gospel. We pray, O God, that as believers, You would show us in any way that we are acting like legalists or thinking like legalists or feeling like legalists, and that You would free us to enjoy the lavish grace of God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, if there are anyone here today who has not yet come to faith in Christ alone, by faith alone, we pray that today would be the day of salvation, that children today would believe, that adults would believe, that men and women, boys and girls would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ today and be saved and have a life changed forever. And may we live for Your glory, for Jesus' sake. Amen.